Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joining us now is Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike. Hutton, always enjoy talking to you. I heard a very, very spirited discussion between you and Chad Withrow calling the Titans the losers of the draft. Why do you think so?
Well, we picked two teams each that we were just not impressed by. Mm-hmm. And then we both went with the Titans. We didn't know it going into it. I just see more of the same with this draft class compared to what we've seen with past ones, just comparing the two GMs. Guys like Monty Rice and Des Fitzpatrick are draft picks that matter that did not work out. And if the Titans had drafted an NFL-caliber wide receiver instead of Des Fitzpatrick, well, then we're not in this situation we're talking about today. Had they liked Monty Rice enough, they didn't need Zach Cunningham and paid him what they had. That's a huge difference on the roster. And as I look at this draft class, I mean, how many starts are these guys making for this year's team? This is an organization that continues to draft players that come in and they're backups. And I don't agree with that philosophy with the last GM or this GM. And they slow play it. And I see a lot of slow playing with the group that they put together. They could turn out to be fine draft picks. But for 2023, these are guys that are depth. And for the second consecutive year, they've drafted a quarterback and a running back on day two to be backups.
Do you think Peter Skoronski is a depth guy?
No, but he's a starter. But how many others are starter? How many starts are they getting from this group that you can say, yeah, they're coming in and they're in the mix? If they draft a wide receiver in the second or third round, that guy's a starter, and he's helping the team now, and he can also build for the future. I see development behind the scenes, but if we're going to be critical of the coaches behind the scenes, they didn't develop Willis last year, and now everyone's on board with developing Will Levis. I just don't see the parallels from last year to this year and it being okay.
Well, Hutt, I think we should look at because I've always said it, the Tennessee Titans, like other teams in the NFL, they value positions differently. One team may value the tight end more than the other.
Yeah.
The Titans value their defensive line and say their safety or running back different than what, you know, Cincinnati may value. I look at the Titans, and they've, in the last 20 years, since 2000, they've only drafted a receiver in the first or second round seven times. Everything else has been third, fourth, fifth, seventh. This is a team that their philosophy is, and I don't know why they have this philosophy, but their philosophy is we can get a receiver in the later rounds. And over the last 23 years or 22 years, it hasn't panned out for them because none of these guys got second contracts. I'm just looking at all of these names on here since 2000, and nobody, and I repeat, nobody, unless I'm missing some guy, nobody. Well, Mark Mariani, he was the longest tenure guy, I believe. But other than him, there's nobody really that worked on a second contract. I wasn't here with Kenny Britt. Did Kenny Britt work on a second contract? It might have been a second, but a few, you know, it was.
I don't think so. He blew out his knee. And
yeah.
It was really never the same.
Exactly. So this team, I think fans, I think us, you, Hutton, we just got to realize that this team doesn't value receivers the way that we believe they should, considering the change in the NFL.
I totally agree. And I know that they don't value receivers as much as other teams, Mace. Mm-hmm. But they straight up told us going into the draft that they needed speed and they needed guys to catch the football. They realized that. Vrabel said that. And just going back to last year with the quote that Ed Werder put out about, you know, who are we supposed to throw it to? No, we don't have anyone that could catch the football. To me, that's a signal. That is a flashing light saying, help that position. Only three teams, just to back up your point, though, mm-hmm. only three NFL teams have drafted a running back in the first four rounds three different times since 2020. Seattle Seahawks, the Tennessee Titans, and the New York Jets. And the Titans had Derrick Henry the entire time, and they've still thrown very valuable draft capital at that position. And yes, they need a backup running back, but the best two that they found since 2020 were free agents they signed during the season that then went on to get other contracts elsewhere. So the capital that they're using just at that position alone, and oh, by the way, they also follow this line of thinking. They draft guys who have an injury history, and the running back they drafted doesn't have an ACL. I mean, that's crazy to me, where people actually believe that his contract will outlast his career in years. That's a huge risk. Their medical staff clearly signed off on it. I just felt like there was more value at wide receiver than at running back at that spot. And if you look across the league, 9 tight ends were drafted in the first 3 rounds. It was clearly a tight end draft. They invested in Josh Wiley, and I don't have a problem with that pick. But if you compare that 9 tight ends in the first 3 to 14 wide receivers, and if you look at specifics at the first and second round, 6 tight ends and 8 wide receivers. But they didn't have a 4th round pick. So with only 6 picks, to me, those selections are much more valuable than, say, what Detroit did, where they used one of their 3 day 2 picks in the second round. They moved around a bit, and they still got Hendon Hooker in the 3rd, where you have all these picks to invest in a backup quarterback, much like the Titans did, by the way, when they drafted Derrick Henry. They had 3 second-rounders that year. They draft Derrick Henry, and they had DeMarco Murray. That part makes sense to me. Ignoring the wide receiver position and then looking at some of the free agent crop and just assessing that someone's going to be let go, to me, that's like letting a quarterback pass you by at a certain selection if you're in love with him, thinking you can trade back and still get him. I just don't buy into that philosophy, even though they can sell it as this is exactly how we wanted it to play out.
So where would you have taken the wide receiver?
I'm going 2nd or 3rd round, Willie.
So you would not have done the Levis thing?
No, not based on what it, well, it's a
so you think they can win this year? That's what I keep coming back to is, what are your expectations for this year?
I'm on that boat with you on trying to figure it out, because last year's draft, it felt like they were drafting for the future while also trying to enhance what they had with what was coming back and trying to stay within the restrictions of the cap. The cap still matters, but I mean, and a lot of it could just depend on they couldn't trade up to 3 to draft CJ Stroud because Houston did. A lot of that could play a factor. But yeah, I'm investing in wide receiver because I'm getting a receiver around the veteran that, I mean, based on what they've told us, they're not rebuilding, but the last 2 drafts have been a draft for the future more than the present. If you just look at how they philosophically were investing in depth, I'm not saying it was great depth and how it turned out, certainly not at quarterback or running back, because they just invested in that again, but they're running it back with that same line of thinking. It's just a different general manager.
Well, I mean, if you look at what this team has done, in hell, you can go back to 97. I'm not going to count Chris Sanders because he was drafted 95 and he did get a second deal with the Titans. But since 1997, I don't think – I may have been the only guy that got a second contract. I'm looking at Drew Bennett now. I think Drew may have gotten a second smaller contract before he went to the Rams with a big contract. But I'm not sure. But everybody else, it's been, you know, one deal and you're done. That's not good for a franchise where you can't, you know, consistently, or, you know, every 2 or 3 guys, you can't develop and re-sign a wide receiver, which makes me think, Hutton, and I want to know if you agree with this, that heading into this 3rd wave of free agency, there's going to have to be a trade made if the Titans want to get an impact guy at that position. And I think it has to be one of the 3. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going nowhere. So that sort of narrows it down to 2, Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard.
I mean, it's either that or they're trading future draft capital, but they've already done that for next year in many ways in several rounds. So, I mean, they have to – good wide receivers are not just going to be let go for, you know, because a team just has so many of them. And if it happens, it's going to happen whenever they cut down from 91 to 53 on that one day, on that big cutdown day. which is just going to be a mad race to pick up players to enhance your roster. But yeah, I mean, this is an offense right now, and we've touched on it. They by the way, I totally agree with what they did on the offensive line. I'm glad they went offensive line early, because that was still not settled based on what they had done in free agency. And I felt the same way about wide receiver, but yet we still look at the depth chart and think, man, Treylon Burks, while he didn't play like a number one last year, he's their number one, like it or not, and they're all in with him, and he's got to be the guy. And then after him, I mean, it's a lot of guys that you're hoping stay healthy but haven't. And Burks is in that camp too, no fault of his own on the concussions stuff. But, I mean, I'm just looking at a depth issue there and thinking, okay, how are they going to move the football on third down whenever teams load up and stop the run, which is what they've done last year? And it just the enhancements in the draft were there, and they could have had the wide receiver that they wanted for the taking and chose to go a different position just based on best player on the board. And that, to me, is building for the future more than it is winning now with the roster that they currently have.
More with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us now. Hutton, what do you think the drafting of Will Levis means for the futures of both Ryan Tannehill and Mike Vrabel?
Well, first with Tannehill, I mean, I think we... Even going into the draft, even if they didn't draft a quarterback, I think it was pretty evident that this was his final year under contract, even though they've got some voidable years coming up. It just always felt like this was the final year, and they had to find the quarterback of the future. It also says that Malik Willis is not that guy, but we all knew that. And they went out and made an effort to find the quarterback of the future, but also passed on him in the first round. I the philosophy, Caroline, I'm hard pressed to say that an offensive lineman is valued more than a future quarterback that you really buy into and love. And that's why I'm just kind of like, man, reports where they try to trade back in and get him in the first. Jeremy Fowler, I believe, reported that. And then, of course, they trade up to 33 and they draft the quarterback. So they like him enough to trade up and draft him. But value, that's great. I mean, I'm not just so certain, going back to Mace and talking about trades, that Levis can't come in and just be better than what people expect, and they actually just get the ball rolling with him. If you're going to start planning for the future, go ahead and do that. And while Vrabel and the new general manager, Rand Carthon, are in lockstep now as collaborators, it's all a collaboration. John Robinson took the fall for it being his call on how bad the depth was on the roster. This is now in collaboration with Vrabel, so Vrabel signing off on Levis as well, which is also an interesting call given the fact that they're running it this year with Tannehill.
Hutt, we did an extensive look at the history of second-round draft picks the last 25 years or so.
Yes.
And
how'd that go?
Well, I mean, you see it around... You're much more likely than not to get a zero. But that's kind of how the draft works. You've got to take a swing somewhere. You've got a Drew Brees. You've got a Jalen Hurts. Then you've got some mid-tier guys who had some good years, like Kaepernick, Andy Dalton, players like that. And then you had Drew Stanton, who Derek gave an A. Mm-hmm. You had Kellen Clements.
Of course he did.
You had John Beck. You have Kevin Cobb. I mean, you've got some guys you're like, hey, I barely remember that guy. Then there's a couple other guys like, I don't remember that guy at all. You know, there's a few of those. But at some point, if you like a guy, you got to take a swing. So let's get back to your philosophical question, drafting for the future. So Rand Carthon comes in. He's got his assessment of the roster, aging quarterback, aging tailback, making big money. Kevin Byard, excellent safety, but sort of, you know, going down the back end and a very, very expensive price. He's got limited resources with the salary cap. He only has 6 draft picks, and as we just looked up, now that they traded for Levis, no third round pick next year, no fifth and sixth round picks next year, because they traded for Dennis Daly and Ugo Amadi. So that's not Rand Carthon for those last two, but he's got to know that going in. Like, I just don't think that there's enough resources to fix the team for this year. So when you say drafting for the future, that's what I would do if I were Rand Carthon. I've got to be realistic with everybody. I know you've been in this window, you're used to winning, and everybody got hurt last year, but I'm looking at it and I said, you know, what is best case scenario if I'm playing for this year?
Best case scenario, though, to me, Willie, has to include a receiver, though. I mean, if you're just trying to score points.
Right. And I understand your argument is you don't like Levis. So that's where you take the receiver.
I don't, but if I love Levis, I'm not passing on him at 11. Right? Like philosophically, if you're drafting for the future and you're using your resources and you want a rookie contract, that's how I would use that pick personally.
Okay, but
rolling the dice,
well.
Going back to Rand Carthon's, he's rolling the dice and playing the board. Well, if an offensive guard is higher on your board than the quarterback, to me, that's a developmental project more than it is starter.
Well, I think all rookie quarterbacks are developmental projects. The way they were graded this year, there's not that generational guy that was going to be there.
I agree on that. Yes, I agree on that. And look, it's not about the two quarterbacks to me. It's not about Hooker or Levis. Because again, Detroit, I predicted that Detroit on Friday would select Hendon Hooker on day two. And it was just a guess based on how many picks they had on day two. They had the luxury of that. Based on the picks, and the history of what they've done in the second and third rounds, just going back to last year, they're just running it back at the same positions. It didn't work then. And to me, I mean, in this league, I'm investing more in wide receiver than I am investing in the backup quarterback for a year, given the fact that if you are limited on resources, you're going to be able to move around and draft. I mean, this is a team that was limited on resources, but if we believe the reports, they were eager to trade up to Arizona's pick at 3 to draft C.J. Stroud. So I mean, they were so eager to do that, but they waited on Levis to 33 and moved up for him there. That's what intrigues me the most about the investment. And if it works out, it's brilliant because they're going to have a salary for a quarterback that is minimal, but they also were on board with keeping the salary that's a monster in Ryan Tannehill, even though they know he's not about the future. If you really just want to bare bones it, you could have moved him or released him or whatever, and you still can, by the way, and you can use the money necessary to go out and make a trade and acquire a big contract at a position of need. And they haven't done that either. And those guys aren't getting released on the open market. That's my overall point. You had a freebie, a layup to go get a receiver, and they passed on that opportunity. Even though maybe we do see a situation like Wiley, who becomes a very good rookie producer, and we see Chigakonkwo, who they are absolutely buying into, Willie, as taking a massive jump forward.
Well, this team, and you said it earlier in the segment that, hey, listen, if Will Levis proves that he's ready to go, then I think you almost, I wouldn't say forced, but you got to let the kid, if it's even close when it comes to both of these quarterbacks, which I would be surprised if it is, because I like Ryan Tannehill and I think he's done a lot of really good things here. But if it's close, you almost have to go because of, you know, the way this team is set up from a money standpoint. We just listened to a bit of, Mike Vrabel saying, listen, we'll be able to go out and sign receivers. They're working on the salary cap. They're working on how to maneuver money and make sure we can open up enough funds so we can go out and sign people. Well, one of those ways is if Will Levis is close to Ryan Tannehill in any way, you almost have to go with the young guy and figure out a way to trade the older guy to then open up space so you can then bring in a receiver
if he's that good that you think that quick Levis would be a better option than Tannehill, that's a good problem.
Yeah, it's a good problem, but then it opens up money for this team, Hutton, wouldn't you think?
Yes, but I mean, drafting him where they did, they're investing in him for the future, right?
Yes.
I mean, we all agree on that. And the question is, when do you start that clock? And And I don't foresee him outplaying Ryan Tannehill. I don't think. And if you guys do, I'm eager to hear.
Probably not this year. I've thrown this out, Hutt. What if the team gets off to a rough start? Tannehill's playing pretty well. He's healthy, but it's very evident you don't have a team that's going to win, which I think is, I'd say, a decent probability, right? Even if everybody's healthy, best case scenario, I think you're a 9-10 win team that might scratch out the division. Maybe. I think that's best case scenario. But if it falls short of that, you get some guys hurt, but Tannehill's available. There's another team around the league that loses their quarterback and gives you a phone call and says, I'll give you some pretty good assets for your guy, then to me, that's when maybe you take a look and say, all right, now I need draft picks. I need capital. So you're going to offer me that. This is the last year I'm going to have Tannehill regardless. I've got Levis. We'll see what he's doing behind the scenes, but we'll find out if the guy can play. To me, there's a lot of different things that can happen here. It's an always moving target, just like the reason they drafted Levis in the second round, because it's a moving target. That's how they assessed it after the first night. The guy's still out there. We kind of like him. Love him in the second round. Didn't really like him in the first round. I think that's what happened, too. I think they fully were hoping and thinking the probability was good that a wide receiver they liked would be there at 81. And all of a sudden, bing, 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 three guys get picked. And like, whoops.
Yes.
Now we got to take the best player we can do. We don't like any of the receivers in the third. And we don't have a fourth. So it's just how it goes. You got to bob and weave based on how things move in front of you. You can't control everything.
Well, right. But you also, like, what we don't know is, was their phone ringing when they were on the clock at those two picks at second and third? They moved up in the second. But in the third, when they went running back and then they follow that up at tight end, did they have a chance to move back and get into that window where the receiver was valuable based on the picks? We don't know. So
fair question.
But if you need that position and where you are on your board, you're thinking, well, I mean, let's get another backup running back running here. I'm thinking, well, did anyone call to move up to get ahead of another team for a different position where you could move back? And then the receivers would be at the top of your board, hypothetically. Don't know.
Yeah. But in 2 years, you will need a running back. Agree?
Yes.
Probably more than one. And it's probably a committee like most teams do now.
Yes.
Right?
But
in another year.
Also, in this year, just in thinking about the reasons for – and by the way, the 2 year thing is interesting because of the ACL. I'll go back to the injury history there. He's a good player. I like what I watched in the Cotton Bowl against USC, but the knee issue is it's a roll of the dice. And hey, that maybe they hit on their second and third round picks, and a year from now I'll be the first to stand up and say they got it right. But for a team that they pointed to depth and then they pointed to injuries as the reason why they had that 7-game skid, and considering where they were, if you're bringing back the quarterback and the running back, I would invest in receivers so they can actually move the football some instead of, I mean, let's face it, if Will Levis is playing in this offense, the excuses will be almost identical to what it was at Kentucky last year, not in 2021. Look at the offensive line. Look at the receivers. Who he didn't have. He's a second round pick with not much expectation. I mean, I just don't see how you start with that. But Willie, you're right. I can see how they end the season with that.
Hutton, we love you. Thanks for joining us. We'll chat next week.
Thank you so much, guys. Always enjoy the conversation.
Awesome. Thanks, Hutton. You can catch Hutton on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick and on 94.9 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts on this. Plus, Ryan Tannehill will speak with the media shortly, so we'll pop in and see what he has to say as well. Caroline Riley-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Yeah.